Okay, so welcome everyone. So today is day number 13 of our Coronavirus Miracles Healing Zoom Circles. And I wanted to, yesterday when we met with Frances, I asked her that question about that fear of love. And we had been reading that section about the fear of redemption. And I remember her saying yesterday that it's not an intellectual thing. Mary Straub had said, that's intellectual. I can't really understand this. And Frances was very clear, it's not an intellectual reading. So it's something that's really got to be experienced so we see it and then we understand. It's like saying there's an obstacle, but I can't see it. You have to show it to me. So I was just sort of sitting with that, and I came upon this really beautiful video with David Hoffmeister and Jason Warwick. And the backdrop is that Jason is in this pain, and he needs to probably have some sort of surgery. And there's a lot of we talked the lessons that were for the in the Course in Miracles. If you're doing the daily lessons, they're the review, and they're about this idea about miracles and grievances, and the idea that problems are really grievances that have not seen the light of the miracle. So problems are just grievances that have not been replaced by miracles. And so beneath every problem is the solution. The solution is always the miracle. The problem is always the grievance. And then it seems to be in time, something there's a delay. So we get caught up in fixing a problem, seeming like it's out there and it'll be fixed in the future, when the answer is here. The answer is here in the miracle, in the mind. So it's a very profound teaching. And so if that's the case, if that's what it is, that all problems are this grievance, and the grievance is this idea of separation, and the solution is the miracle, which heals the separation, we want to really know what's blocking that, right? We want to really understand, what is blocking that. So this video, it's a bit long. It's about 30 minutes, but I really feel like you get to see the arc from Jason when he enters a space, and he's very transparent with his emotions and his I think it was Lauren. Lauren's not here today, but she had talked about how sometimes we feel it's easier to forgive a brother or a sister, and it's hardest to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we hold a lot of grievance for ourselves and judgment and about whatever. It could be anything, not doing this enough, not having done something in the past, or whatever it is, roles we're playing as parents, as whatever it is. So in this clip, Jason comes from that space, and then you see with David and the examples he shares, and how there's this beautiful healing into release of that emotion and coming into a space of surrender. It also brings into light the whole idea of what is healing, and how does healing happen, and what do surgery and medicine and all of that, what roles do all of that play? And then the other thing I just wanted to say is the idea of miracles. So I had sent something out to a local online, it's not a magazine, I guess it's sort of like a community bulletin board where people who are doing any kind of healing and stuff can share what they're doing. So I thought, yeah, let me let her know that this is happening, because maybe others want to join that, subscribe to that. Because I know I'll get their weekly mailings, and I'll look at seeing what's happening. And the woman was really really interesting. She said to me, "Well, yeah, sure, I can put it up, but I'm not comfortable with the word miracles. I'm not comfortable with that word because I don't want to give anyone false hope." And I thought that was really interesting, because, and so that speaks to this idea of like the mind that needs some understanding. What is the miracle? What are the blocks to the miracle? When there's such a call for healing, a miracle is the shift into the love. It's going from the state of contraction and fear and doubt and self-judgment, judgment of another, into love. And whatever the symbols are to allow it, which can be everything, right? Yesterday, Francis helped us see that, like, all the symbols can be used to expand the mind, to raise it, to unwind it back to God. So I thought that was interesting that she felt a little, you know, concerned about it. And I don't think she's alone. A lot of people, when they even see coronavirus and miracle together, it feels like it's oil and water. They can't go together. But actually, the problem and the solution can go together. So that's what we're opening to, this really revolutionary way of understanding, which actually is very ancient. Okay, so I am going to get us ready for this. Yeah, let's start the video. That's not it. All right, can you all see this fear of miracles, surgery, and magic? You see that? Okay. All right, so I'm going to start that. Okay, and I'll check in with the...
You know, before we did this show, Jason was doing, like Netta was doing, he basically, we talked this week about how you're dealing, you've been dealing with pain. And
did you all hear that? Were you able to hear it? Okay.
Netta brought up about the past lives and the past memories, but it's still an issue, particularly today. She was saying, I can't talk about the CD because there's something more important I need to talk about, but maybe we've got our clips, but maybe you can share a bit because you've been dealing with pain and it had to do with seemingly on the surface of things of a vasectomy operation that didn't seem to go well, or that you've had a lot of pain and how that's, you know, infected your relationships. And, you know, that's the same thing that Netta was doing, like talking about that. That's something that's really you're facing and thinking about on a daily basis. Maybe we can use these same teachings to go into that a bit, because you're going for surgery. Is it next week?
Friday.
Yeah. And the purpose that I wanted to do the show originally this Sunday was to help me prepare for this Friday, and I don't actually know where to go with it, but I do feel a lot of emotion with it, because I want to get to the root. I'm even open to stopping the surgery if I was convinced that I shouldn't. I can still feel this strong attraction, like this is going to be the solution. And there were some quotes I wanted to read from the course around if the mind is afraid of healing, you should not attempt miracles, and you should temporarily rely on magic or pills, because of the fear of healing in the mind. And the question that arose for me quite strongly was, am I afraid of healing then, true healing, which is forgiveness? Because I seem to have so many miracles of that. Or is he talking about afraid of healing of the body? Well, he can't be talking about that.
No.
So if I'm afraid of healing, why am I even going there? It still comes up as this, why am I even going there? Why don't I just go for the solution? Or can I be... can I be convinced on this show that it's okay to do the surgery, or convinced otherwise? Because I don't want to go into this thing with a split mind, and it's split. So.
Well, it's beautiful, because this is beautiful that you're willing to go into this, because this is for the whole universe. And what it is I would say, we've been talking about Netta's album is titled The Light Has Come, and then as soon as these songs came to Netta, and then all this darkness come, almost like it was a giant flusher, like all of a sudden these come through, and not able to sing certain ones. But let's just say right away, for the record, that there is a tremendous fear of healing. There's a tremendous fear of the light. and that the entire cosmos of time and space was projected and made as a defense against the light, and that all of it was made as a giant veil to cover over the darkness of separation from God, which is immense. The belief in separation from God, the belief you could leave your creator, is a pain worse than any pain imaginable in the sense of a physical pain. The belief that you could actually leave a loving creator and go off and make up an identity apart from that creator is the worst. And that's that tiny mad idea, the fall from grace. But once we start to, we have to acknowledge, first of all, that there's a tremendous fear of the light, and there's a tremendous fear of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was given as an answer to the belief in separation. And the mind was so terrified of what it seemed to be a fall from grace, from being in perfection and perfect love and oneness, that it seemed, when it seemed to go through a fall, it went into terror. And the answer was given immediately. The Holy Spirit was given as an answer. The whole thing was answered in one instant. But the mind that fell, that believed in the lie, it's tremendously afraid of the Holy Spirit. So that's why Jesus will say that very few can hear the voice for God directly, because of the fear and the resistance to the light and the fear of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk a little bit about magic. Magic is giving powers of the mind, which is where all power is. Power is only of the mind. There is no mind and matter, and there's no power in the world. Nothing is powerful in the world. It's just a projection. But mind was given, there's healing beliefs that were given to certain things in form, and that's what we could call it surgery, we could call it medicine, you could call it alternative medicine, massage, moving energies around the body, balancing energies, all those things are all in the realm of magic. And there's nothing wrong with magic in the sense that when the mind is so afraid of healing in the mind, which is waking up and knowing who you really are as the Christ, that's terrifying, then healing belief is given to what seem to be external agents. So this doctor that you've been working with up in California, nice rapport, and he's saying, I think surgery, the reversal surgery could be helpful. I can't guarantee it, but it may, which is very much like doctors saying this, I can't guarantee it, but it may help you. There's nothing wrong with giving healing belief temporarily to external agents when you're too afraid of true healing in the mind. So basically Jesus says that if, for example, if the miracle came and the mind wasn't really ready for it, it could induce even a suicide. It could even induce someone to try to kill themselves, kill the body. If too much light, if too much of the miracle was introduced, and
do you mean a miracle that would like heal the pain down?
It would
there?
Heal the identity confusion, right, in the mind. It would do more than, yeah, heal the pain. It would heal the identity confusion of believing you're a person in time and space instead of the Christ. But you see the gulf between, yeah, the Christ and then being a human being. So magic is, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just that the reason that people, the reason Gandhi put faith in herbs, the reason you put faith in going to see a urologist in Mexico or going to see a surgeon, is because healing belief has been given to these seemingly external agents that are apart from the mind, but really they aren't. You know, they're still just thoughts in mind. It's because there's too great a fear of actual healing, because actual healing would show that everything that you perceive is not real.
So what have I had until this point then, where I get happier with things, or like, oh, like the belief that Mexican medicine is worse, like in those pots, isn't that healing?
Like, well, it's those are just symbols. Like for example, you go, wow, they can, all these things can happen in Mexico and it doesn't seem to have such a high cost. And those are all just symbols of almost like the Spirit saying, keep coming. Keep coming with me. Keep following my guidance, because that's something that Netta and Emily talked about, was guidance. That guidance is the way back to overcome the resistance to the light. Guidance is a way to say, where spirit's like saying, I know you're terrified, but if you can just follow me step by step, I'll unwind you very, very carefully, and I'll build your confidence in the spirit. I'll build your confidence in the guidance. I'll build your confidence in how the spirit is taking you way beyond the belief that you're a person in a world, but that you are truly a divine mind that lives. You're an idea in the mind of God. That's who you really are. But it's going to take a lot of unwinding to get there. So the real question, and I think Nicholas brought this up at the beginning, Nicholas brought the little book out, Purpose is the Only Choice, that in any situation, whether it's a presidential election that seems to be happening in Mexico, which candidate do I vote for? Whether it's, do I get this surgery done? Or is there an alternative method? Or is there something you want me to see? Is there some kind of fear that's so deep that I'm a belief that I'm holding on to that I could release? If there's something you want to show me, Holy Spirit, then please show it to me. I want to really see it. That's the prayer of the heart. And it's not really about the election or the World Cup's going on here. We have the giant cup behind us they put as a prop. We're trying to keep it to current events. There's a big election in Mexico today, and there's a big trophy, Jason. That's not the actual World Cup trophy. But in this studio, we've got a big gold trophy, and Soren got it placed in just the right place. So we can use it as a prop today. Jesus likes that, for the props in here. But basically, anything that's symbols in the world that helps you feel like I'm progressing, I'm opening towards God, I'm healing, I'm moving in the direction of healing, that's helpful. And anything where you place so much faith in something that's an external is what they called an idol. That's what was brought up on the earlier shows. That's an idol made to take the place of God. So when we pursue things, whether it's solving problems in the world, whether it's trying to find the perfect house, the perfect career, the perfect partner, the perfect pet, the perfect amount of money in a bank account or whatever, all those are just idols, because you're literally putting faith in, I will be happy when I get that thing. That's clearly an idol. And when you go for healing, it's a loosening from the belief in idols. And you're just saying, okay, I'm afraid, but just use the symbols to reach me, somehow reach me in a way that can be helpful, in a way that I feel like I'm coming back home. I'm coming back to you, God.
Can the surgery, rather than it being a symbol of fear of healing, be actually part of the plan to go deeper?
Yeah, I remember many, many years ago, probably over 20 years ago, I went to a Course in Miracles group, and I was sitting in the group. It was a large group, and the facilitator was like saying, oh, David, I'm so glad you're here. We'd love to hear from you, and I really want to turn the group over to you and everything. And I'm in this course group, and I kept hearing from the Holy Spirit, wait. And I'm like, okay, because they're all in the room. The facilitator's saying, take it away. And the Holy Spirit's kept saying, wait. And I'm saying, thank you, everybody. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to talk to you about a few things. But the Spirit's like, wait, wait, wait. And I didn't know what the waiting was for. I'm ready to go. And it's like, wait, wait, wait. Then the door opens and a woman comes in, and she's got tears in her eyes. And this course study group was all about what was going to happen next with the woman who came in. I was like, wait, wait. And she had just come from the doctor, and she'd just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. She's coming to her course group. She's got tears in her eyes, and she walks in the door, and I could feel the whole energy shift, and Jesus is like, yeah, this is what it's for. This is what the whole meeting's for. That's what the wait, wait, wait was for. And then she spoke up and she said, I'm a course student. I've been reading the book, and it's telling me all the problems are in my mind, and all the problems are my thoughts and beliefs. And I've just come from the doctor, and he's told me I've got so long to live, and I've got a terminal illness. I can't go home. I've been preaching to my kids, my husband. There is no such thing as external sickness. It's all in the mind. And I've just been diagnosed, with a terminal illness. I can't even go home. I feel too ashamed to walk into my family's house because I feel like I'm such a terrible Course in Miracles student and everything. And she said, so the doctor said, well, here's what the doctor said. I'm going to have to go through treatments and I need to go into the hospital. I need to schedule a time in the hospital for some surgery. And she just, everybody just sat in silence as this woman came into this course group and poured it all out. Here's what's going on for me, she said. And then after she, for 10, 15 minutes, poured it all out and everybody was completely quiet, she looked over at me and she said, aren't I just giving in to the ego to go in for this surgery that this doctor told me about? It goes against all the teachings. And I've been talking about this stuff for years. And I feel like a fool. I feel embarrassed to even face my husband and my children. And I said, yes, you are to go for that hospital appointment. But you can't think of it as going in for treatment or surgery for an external illness, because there is no external illness. You know, the mind was sick. Jesus says that thought the body could be sick. That's his line in the course. The mind was sick that thought the body could be sick. It's all mental. But I said, but when you go in there, you are a light worker. You are the Holy Spirit's agent. You are to go into that hospital and you are to bless all the doctors, all the nurses. You are, Jesus is just using this situation of what you believe is just to go in there and shine the light. And I said, you can't think of it as you going in there as a victim, as somebody who's done something wrong, as somebody who doesn't get it, because how are you going to be the joy of the world? How are you going to be the light of the world if you believe that? So you go into that hospital and you keep that appointment and you shine your light and you don't forget the reason that you're there. Don't forget the purpose that you're there, because Spirit is counting on you to be used, to allow your body to be used, to be spoken through, to be smiled through. Your holy encounters with the receptionist, with everybody at that hospital, is part of the script, and you're going to use it for that purpose. You can't hold on to this idea somehow that you've done something wrong. Spirit never looks at us as if we've done something wrong. Spirit never says, oh, that's, you know, you've done wrong, you've done bad. Spirit's like that GPS that even when you make turns and you're way off, it just says, make the next legal U-turn. It doesn't go, you dummy, I just told you to turn left and you missed it. The GPS never condemns, never criticizes. It always just goes, make the next turn or turn right. It will always bring you back on track to get to your destination. And the Holy Spirit always brings us back, never criticizes, never judges. So this is a great topic that you're bringing up, because there's nothing wrong with magic. The only reason the mind would continue to believe in magic is because of the belief that it works. Why did Gandhi use herbs for healing for decades? Because it seemed to work. Why do people go to doctors and have surgeries for things like broken legs or heart surgeries or whatever? It's because what? It seems to work. They seem to come away from the doctor or from the nutrition center or from the, maybe they had some body energy balancing or something. It's all magical, but it seems to work. And then there will come a point in everybody's journey back to God where the things that seem to work in linear time, they start to not work anymore. That's when people really start to pay attention to their thoughts even closer. That's when they look at their mind even deeper and closer, when the same things that worked over and over and over magically, they don't seem to be working. And that just means that the Spirit's like saying, okay, we're ready for the next step to go into a higher level of consciousness and awareness. So even when those things fall apart, you're not failing. It's just that you're ready to start to tune into a higher level of consciousness, a higher frequency. So you see, it's all positive. There's nothing ever going wrong. It's all just how ready am I to go and take complete responsibility for my state of mind. Like Netta was sharing that example of that past life where you went back and you could feel the shame of that girl and thinking that she had done something wrong and that she was responsible for that scenario, that abuse or that rape or whatever. And again, the course is teaching you're not responsible for the error. You're only responsible for accepting the correction. But also it teaches you can't accept the correction until you bring it all the way back into your mind. That's the Holy Spirit saying, come back, bring it to me, hand it over to me. I will take it away. There's tremendous resistance. It's almost like saying, no, I feel too shameful. I've done something terribly wrong. It was my fault. But it's never our fault. You know, there is no sin. It's just sin is a mistake to be correction. It's just an opportunity to choose again. It's not some kind of black mark on your soul. But the ego believes in punishment. The ego believes in personal responsibility. The ego believes something terribly was done wrong and that it can't be corrected. And the Holy Spirit doesn't even see sin. All he sees is opportunities for accepting the correction. Is that positive?
I can see when you're talking, like, the problem is even so much the idea of the surgery. It's letting my mind move in the direction that this isn't wrong. Like, it somehow is a stamp on, after all these years, I'm doing something wrong, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm so confused even about healing now, everything. I'm like, and I'm so scared that this surgery still, even as I think of it, like what they're going to do for 4 hours. And so the idea of being a miracle worker, when I'm kind of like, I need them to get it right or I'm going to be screwed.
It's like, I can see why we're talking about this. You need like a turnaround, like Byron Katie would say, we got to turn it around. Because if you're going in there, I'm at your mercy. Oh, this is delicate down here. Be careful with your knives and whatever, you know. And my wife, you know, she's depending on this to go well. You know, like, I don't want to put any pressure on you, doctor, but this is like important. You know, the thing about it is, it's like we have to turn it around. We have to start to realize that everything, even doctors and nurses, are just agents that the Holy Spirit can use. But they're only going to reflect back to us where our state of mind is. That's why I love the stories of like Bernie Siegel and Larry Dossey. And I used to read, I mean, I was into near-death experiences and reading about surgeons who start to realize the power of the mind. That's exciting. But Bernie Siegel, he's like an ace surgeon. That's his life. You know, he's married, he's ace surgeon, he's everything like this. And he starts to realize that his life's calling isn't to be a surgeon, that his life's calling's the miracle. So he starts to have all these miraculous experiences, even with people who have passed away in the hospital, and all kinds of witnesses to miracles. And then he gets so excited that he's more than a surgeon that he writes a book. And it was a book that I read many years ago, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. So here's a surgeon who writes Love, Medicine, and Miracles. Do you think he was popular? They used to put negative things, other doctors and surgeons, about him on the bulletin boards at his own hospital. Because, oh, one of our surgeons is into prayer now, and he's into miracles. Derogatory things. But he and his wife, she's just gone, I think maybe just recently passed away, but he continued on. They went around, Bobby and Bernie, speaking about miracles, speaking about there's a greater purpose in life, being used by the Holy Spirit to teach beyond the medical model, to teach the miracle. Here's a surgeon turned miracle worker. And when you're going there, you're not going there as a man to be helped by these external agents. You're going there with a purpose to extend, and then they're just going to reflect your purpose. The purpose is the only choice. The purpose you hold out in front is going to be reflected. And I think all of us know that, even our people that are part of our community, just, you know, this, was it yesterday, the day before, got off a bus in the early morning hours and were grabbed, and people came at them with knives and cut the purse off, and these are people that took their computer and so on and so forth. But again, it comes down. I remember having the discussion a while back about this trip and how they were going to do it, and I'm uncomfortable with taking a bus at night and so on. So I mean, I was in the conversations before that preceded the whole thing, but we're here to choose the miracle, to join in purpose with the Holy Spirit, to follow the guidance, and to let the Holy Spirit convince us that there's nothing to fear. That's lesson 48. There is nothing to fear. We need to be convinced because of this huge fear of healing and a huge fear of the light. So this whole surgery opportunity that's coming up on Friday, Saturday, this is you, but having to walk into this with your purpose. And just let it go. Just like Netta was saying yesterday before the concert, she wasn't feeling up to really like doing a full concert, but she was tired. She'd rather take a nap, watch a movie. And then the purpose was the torch out in front and made it into an amazing extension of love and light. But it's the same with you going into the surgery. You have to go up there with, okay, Holy Spirit, it's your show. You use it for the glory of God, not going up there with these beliefs like this is a long-standing problem and that I need these surgeons to take it away, because it's the purpose in our mind. Holding that purpose with the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to shine away the darkness and the guilt.
So any energy of even thinking whether it should do it or not is probably a distraction from being ready to be the light worker.
Well, this do it or not thing. I remember there was a great being named Krishnamurti. And Krishnamurti would have people follow him all over the world because he was such an amazing being of love and light. But I do remember that there was a group of people and they thought, we've got Krishnamurti here and we're going to pin him down on something that's been really eating at us for a long time. So they tried to pin Krishnamurti down into the topic of sexuality, like corner him. And they tried to get him to make a pronounced statement whether sexuality, having sex, was good and spiritual or bad and evil. They tried to corner him and pin him down. And he takes things so deep into truth, into awakening, into that's the whole purpose of everything, is to know thyself, is to know who you are. And they're trying to pin him down into have sex or don't have sex. Like, give me an answer. And then Krishnamurti said the famous line. He looked at him and he said, have sex, don't have sex, but get on with it. And what did he mean by that? Everyone was like, whoa, he has spoken. Have sex, don't have sex, but get on with it. It was like he was saying, don't make a distraction of these worldly decisions as if your whole life depends on it. It's in the mind. It's in consciousness. They would scream at him. Sometimes they would be bitter and they would call him names and everything like this. And I would love watching those videos because there's like these people screaming at Krishnamurti. And then the camera goes over to Krishnamurti and he's got these twinkly, sparkly little eyes, innocent eyes. And he'd say, please, please, madams, gentlemen, let's get back to the real issue. After they were yelling at him, I was like, wow, look how defenseless, look how childlike he is, because he was rooted in presence and divine presence, and he wasn't going to get distracted with these kind of life or death decisions as if, it's kind of what Kristen was saying, it's like I had the same movie came to mind when that came about. We don't have to think like this anymore. That's the same idea I had in the same movie this morning. Because when you try to, whether it's a political discussion or it's this thing, whether to have surgery or not, or all these kind of things in form, really the Spirit's just saying we don't have to think like that anymore. Every decision is a decision of purpose, and every decision is either a right-minded decision or a wrong-minded decision. What? Remember that quote when you were on with Susan? It was about everything brings you everything or nothing. And how do we reconcile that? Right-mindedness, listening to the Holy Spirit, brings you everything. That's where your abundance, your joy, your happiness is. And the ego, wrong-mindedness, brings you nothing. And everything and nothing, Jesus said, cannot coexist. The Holy Spirit and the ego cannot coexist. If you give your mind over to the Holy Spirit, you see there is no ego. There is no bad man. There's no boogeyman. There's no darkness. If you give your mind fully to the Holy Spirit, that's what that decision will do. It will save your mind. It will light your mind up. So that's what that really meant.
I can feel with just skipping over that decision, have sex, don't have sex, surgery. It's like it's just lighter, and then I just feel this movement up to San Francisco rather than it being a real...
It's almost like you got a mission, and it's an adventure. Like, okay, Holy Spirit, let's go up to San Francisco and let's shine the light. Let's shine the light. Yeah, it's so beautiful. You've got a purpose. There's a purpose for it. We had these clips, and I'm not going to let them go, because we just, you know, we're here, we talk, this Mexican election thing, it's like, that seems to be important, but actually, the question isn't who you vote for, but it's what purpose, what's in your state of mind.
So there was a lot in that video, you know, there was a lot, it was very profound, and I'll send the link out, you know, this is like my second or third time watching it, and I'm still hearing new things. And I'm sort of feeling prompted, because we had a very profound discussion with Francis yesterday, and then we had this video. I'm feeling prompted for us to just let people express today, because it feels like there might be just thoughts and stuff and questions that's bubbling up. And instead of us going into meditation, I feel like it's just the mind just, you know, whatever part of this video or even maybe something yesterday from Francis, just give us opportunity to express and share. Okay, so that's what I'm feeling. So we have time for that. Shirley. Oops. I think I unmuted. There you go. Okay.
I'm quite new to the Course of Miracles, but one of the things as I was listening, and I am a nurse, one of the things that I was, as I was listening, when he made the comment about like medical assistance, surgery, medicine is all magical, but it seems to work. And I had a really tough time with that, because where does mankind get the ideas and the, you know, ideas for new ways of healing, and how that can be called magical? It's that kind of brain that we've been given to be able to have that kind of knowledge to be able to help people. To call that magical, I don't know. I just have a really hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for expressing it. That's why I felt like I wanted to open this up, because I feel like there's going to be things that are going to come up. Yeah. So, so if we look at things like the placebo response, we know that people will take medicine and take a placebo, and a good percentage will get better with the placebo, right? And so there's definitely So the medicine, the placebo, was inert. It had no power, you know? And the other one might be whatever it was that had the chemical formulation of whatever it was. Yet the placebo still worked. So there was some power that the mind gave to something that was inert, and it still healed. Now, even surgery, not just medicine, there's things called placebo or sham surgery. So people like with, osteoarthritis, torn meniscus, where they've randomized them, they didn't know what they were going to be in. And one group got the actual surgery. One group just, it was opened. It looked like they had an incision, but nothing was done. And the group that had the one that had the surgery, you know, improved. The one that didn't, they just opened and closed. 1-2 years later, they had improvement of symptoms because they believed in the doctor. They believed, and they even knew that they might even get the placebo. They've even done something where people have irritable bowel syndrome at Harvard. This study came out of Harvard, irritable bowel syndrome. And they got a medicine so they had two groups, had a support group, both had support groups. One group also got something that said, these are placebo pills that have been shown in the therapeutic response to have, you know, healing potential. They knew it was placebo. They still improved their symptoms, even when they knew it was placebo. So, and then we also have nocebo. That they had this small group of adolescents that were allergic to poison ivy. Now you wouldn't do this. This was this really small study in Japan because there would be ethical concerns and all of that. But they randomized them, and they one group was told this is poison ivy when it wasn't, and one group was told this is not poison ivy when it was. And the group that was told it was poison ivy and it wasn't all reacted, even though it wasn't poison ivy, but they were told and they did react because they had a history of being allergic. The other group that didn't get poison ivy, got poison ivy, but was told it wasn't, only one person reacted, something like that. So there's, so these are things we've known. This is not something, you know, in a sense. And now, at Harvard, they have something called the Center for Placebo Studies. Like, their whole center is devoted just to studying not whether it works, but how it works. So I know I'm a physician, you know, I'm a physician. So I totally understand your paradigm, and I totally get it. I totally get it. And there is no need for you to put pressure on yourself or try to force yourself into, you know, it's not like that. It's more if something piques your curiosity to say, huh, that's interesting. For me, when I was a physician, a medical student, whenever I would hear a study like that, or sometimes spontaneous remission where you don't understand and someone gets better, right? I'm sure you and I could swap stories where someone did much better than was predicted and someone didn't do better when they should have done better. So there was always this X factor operating. Something was always operating. And I would be really paying attention. I'd be like, wow, that's so cool. Let's go there. Let's study that, you know? But in the medical model, it's shifting, but very slowly, very slowly. But, you know, I feel like, I think now what's happening now is going to be really interesting because a lot of things are happening that wouldn't happen in medicine. People are being forced to work together and come together in ways that they weren't before. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. And also, there's many books. You Are the Placebo. There's a book that talks all about placebo response. It's by, I'm going to forget his name, but I'm going to forget his name. He's a chiropractor and the name's blanking. It's not coming to me. But I recently wrote a book, The Physician Heal Thyself, which, you know, documents all of this. And it's basically a way to walk your mind from where you are into opening to the miracle. So I totally relate with you. I wonder if, just to reflect on what you've already experienced in medicine that you've seen, clinically that doesn't obey the medical model, that's the direction this is going to. You don't have to like get up to the top of the mountain, you know. You just want to be where you are, honest, and ask spirit to work with your mind to help you.
And I have had an experience of that placebo effect myself, which really, it was like, wow, because I've been suffering from depression and anxiety and by really resisting medication, you know, I can do this on my own and, you know, I shouldn't need that external thing to, you know, a lot of guilt. And it was the day I finally said to my doctor, I can't do this. And so I accepted a prescription and I hadn't even started the medication. And I dropped my medication, the prescription off, and I went home, got my skates, went skating. And I remember it was an outdoor place to skate. And it's like, whoa, like, what is this? And I've had patients come in and be on an antidepressant for 2 days. And yes, I feel so much better. It's just, it's amazing. And it's like, wow. Like I do come up to a lot of stuff that brings question for sure. Yeah. And then there's other, and I have read the Bernie Siegel book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. Yeah. And that was a number of years ago. And some of this questioning has made it more difficult for me to work in the medical model, but I'm flexing and do what I can to bring some of that hope. But I'm back and forth. I'm back and forth a lot. But thank you, Seema.
Yeah, no, beautiful. It's beautiful that you could draw upon your own experiences, because spirit has to work with us where we are. It can't be something you read or someone else's experience. So it's beautiful that you were able to, and also, you know, Jason in that video is feeling a lot of resistance to the surgery because he's been doing all this mind training. And now, you know, you got to go for surgery. So there can be judgment. And David is really saying, hey, the surgery is also a symbol. It's an opportunity. You don't have to see it this way. So it's almost like let spirit go and decide for us what is best. Let spirit be in charge of using the symbols. And then it's this, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of holy encounters and a lot of healing exchanges and all of that versus us saying, like you said, you were trying to say, no, it's got to be this way, right? And then seeing that, oh, it could be this way. So it's, I think that the arc of like what I think is right versus going into spirit and surrender, you know, and the emotions, it's really beautiful, right? To see that happen. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, Joe Dispenza. Yeah, that was a book. Joe Dispenza, You Are the Placebo. That's the title of the book. You Are the Placebo.
You see him?
Yeah.
I just wanted to share, I'm not a doctor or a nurse. I'm an engineer by trade I've been doing healing work for almost 20 years now. And even before that, I had reoccurring kidney stones. I think I probably started when I was maybe 30 years old, and every year or two I'd have an attack where I would have, you know, be in a lot of pain, and most times I was able to pass the stone myself. And then I started studying the course, and I started doing Reiki and doing healing work for helping people. And probably a few years after I started it, I had another kidney stone, right? So, you know, I had been through the medical things of all kinds of treatments for that. Nothing really seemed to work. This one time that I had this kidney stone, it was like I was suffering for like a week. And, you know, I was trying to meditate, and I was trying to, you know, kind of will it away type of thing, you know? And finally, I just said, Holy Spirit, I can't do this anymore. Please help me. And the next thing I heard was, go to the emergency department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it totally shifted my whole perspective. Was like, it wasn't so much that I had to have a healing from the Spirit for the kidney stone. It was like, center yourself in love. And I was given, like, here's what you need to do. Center yourself and extend that love to all of your doctors and nurses, and see them in light. See them as, like, you know, angels sent from heaven to help you through this time. And I did that. By the time I got to the hospital, the pain stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had to go, you know, and they did some kind of like a uteroscopy or something like that. I don't remember the technical name for it, but they were able to get the stone. And the doctor says that stone was never going to pass because it was just too big. But everything turned out fine. What I realized that was in that incident was, it wasn't that I was going to be able to heal that situation just by willing it. I was given the opportunity to extend love. And that was the real healing. That was I believe that was the reason why when I finally got to the point where I just surrendered, I said, I can't take the pain anymore. That's when I, you know, be who you are. Let your brothers and sisters help you. And it was kind of a miracle because, so now, whenever I have a situation, either for myself or somebody comes to me with that, that's the instructions I give. I says, you know, just center in love and then just see all your caregivers as instruments of healing, instruments of love. And physically, in your mind, see them illuminated in this beautiful white light. And you become more aware of the true power of the mind and how we're all one mind. And by joining together in this light, that's where miracles happen. And so, you know, maybe that is an aspect of the real purpose of these things, where Holy Spirit won't take your pain, but it'll show you, it'll meet you at the place that you're at and help you guide you back to who you are. And that was really, I think, an important experience that I had, but probably wouldn't have experienced it unless I had the kidney stone. I don't know if that helps or not, Shirley, but.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Thanks. It's always helpful. Thank you. Okay, so Eric? Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Can everybody hear? All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this has been very useful for me because I'm going through some things now, and I really appreciate the sharing about extending love, because even like, I mean, Joe, what you shared like kind of drove it home because it was talked about during David's video as well. But so I have a lump on my neck that's been happening since December, and it's been a process where I've gone the traditional medical route and had it evaluated, and now Seema's getting a little bit of an update on this too, because I talked with her in length about it, because there's the timing with the whole coronavirus situation and the medical field and the demands on the medical field and me wanting to figure out what's going on seem to accelerate because of all that. And because the doctor I saw, the ear, nose and throat doctor, was like, it's very highly unlikely that it's cancerous, but we're going to look at it and just see what it is. So it's not like a super huge rush to get a CT scan, but we recommend that you get one. And then everything started coming with the COVID-19. So I like felt compelled to like get it done. Well, now I'm at this place where I had the scan done about a month ago and I had an appointment with them about 2 weeks ago that got kicked out. Like this got canceled and then kicked back out 2 weeks. And then that got canceled and then rescheduled as a telemedicine appointment. And I'm talking with the ENT and he's like, your radiology report says there's nothing there. Like nothing's wrong, you know? And I'm like, well, at first he couldn't find the report, right? Cause I went to a different testing center than the hospital that he's affiliated with. So there was a little bit of this thing where I feel like this has been very valuable to me because I knew I was getting annoyed with the whole thing, you know, I would get on the phone with them. It was they're not really set up for telemedicine. So there's some like process things that are kind of wonky and not very smooth that was, you know, setting the tone in a way. It seemed like it was setting the tone. So, and then he's like, so you got a CT scan and I can't find your CT scan. And I'm like, okay. And like, so you haven't even looked at it yet? And he's like, no, I'm going by the radiologist report. And they're saying that there's nothing wrong with it. They can't find anything that's significant at all. And I'm like, okay, well, I've been talking with your care assistant and I would hope that you would have reviewed it by now. And so I'm in this process now where like I'm trying to get him the scan so that he can review it because the radiologist at the CT clinic said that there's nothing there. And I'm like, well, it's the size of two marbles right back here. You know, like there's obviously something here. And so what do I do? I mean, I recognize that I was like, kind of short on the phone when they said they couldn't, that he didn't even look at my scan, given how much time I had spent talking with his care coordinator and just wanting to know what the heck's going on in a way, you know. And I'm not like super concerned about it because I know that all things together work out for good. So it's not, and with the whole virus situation, it's really brought about this whole looking at death more, right? And I talked with Seema about this too. And it's actually, I'm about halfway through the book and it speaks to it too, that you're not that you're really that afraid of death, but you're afraid of your parents dying, you know, in the book you share this story and like, it's like that whole thing, like exposing, like I'm not afraid, but I'm afraid of my family. And it really brings up this whole thing with whatever's happening with this to where I think today was very useful in that now that I can call them and if it works, it works, you know, if the fact that I got kicked out maybe is a sign, you know, the fact that they're saying that nothing's there is a sign, you know, but it's still an opportunity to follow through and like see if they got the CT scan even, you know, and like, and just extend the love really and try to like, you know, come at it from the extending love point of view rather than the, why aren't your processes better type kind of view, you know, so. So I just wanted to share that, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not really. I just have to trust that it's for the good, and try to extend the love. So I think I'm done sharing. That's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, that's a beautiful. I just wanted to reflect back to it. It's a beautiful experience of like watching the mind, seeing where we get upset or the grievances and, you know, all of that. And so I feel like it's almost like when something closes, right, and that door doesn't seem to be opening, it's an opportunity to say, okay, so what is here right now that wants to be shown? Just for this moment. And maybe 2 hours later it does open. You know, we don't know. We're not trying to say that you're not going to call again. But it's almost like in the pause. I think Francis was talking about how we don't have our regular lives now and the pause. So how can we use that pause? Because it's almost like I was even thinking like, yeah, if someone gets sick, they just can't even go to, like, it would be, it's unheard of that you just can't go to the doctor now, right? It's unheard of. Like, we're not used to that. I mean, other cultures do that all the time. You know, they have shortages, they have wait times and all that. We, in America, we don't know that. So it's so unheard of for us not to like press a button and something doesn't come. You know, we're just not used to it. So it's almost, but in that pause, because you're so aware and you're working with spirit, right? So there's that opportunity for that pause for healing. That's what it's feeling to me. And I mean, I feel like you're doing that because you're watching the shift and you're watching, oh yeah, I saw what was going on and I see that. And Joe, like, you know, kept the beautiful thing about the love, you know, and David talking about what is the purpose here? What is my purpose here? Whatever is happening, but what is the purpose here? So keep in touch. You know, we're joined with you. We're joined with you in the healing and in the miracle. Yeah. And in the allowing of whatever is to come.
Yeah. And just to share, so as far as like, what is to come, like the next step that they had said before would be a biopsy to see what's going on with it. Hold on. You know, if I can go, who knows, they might say, we do see something now and we want you to get a biopsy, but then that's a whole nother like opportunity to join with spirit. Like, is this right now? Because my son, is this right now to even go in, you know, or is it even going to be an option? And then I'm okay with that. Yeah. I gotta be okay with that. Right. I mean, so I'm still going to take the opportunity to extend the love to the doctor and their care assistant and all that, but I have to be okay with, you know, even if it comes in, like, we definitely want a biopsy, but we can't get you in until May or who knows when, then that's fine. And actually there was another recent sharing of David's, I think maybe even on a recent retreat, where he shared about some month long retreats that they've had, and where people, like, he shared a story of somebody who had a remission of cancer, like on one of his long, very long retreats. So it's not that the biopsy and the traditional medicine is the only way. And I can realize that. Maybe it's just forcing me to look at other areas, you know.
Yeah.
If it's just not available.
Yeah. And I liked what David said, like about like spirit being in charge. And I remember when I was going through this chronic pain thing, and then I was okay, but I still seemingly needed to go to the surgery. It was still part of that plan. And I had joined, and I knew. So I remember thinking, okay, I don't have control. I don't, but I know my purpose. Like, I want to be in purpose of being one who extends miracles. I want to be in purpose of not playing a suffering role or a victim role or a martyr role. Like, I don't want the ego to use this. And so I just really was like, okay, that's the purpose. And then when I did that, then it's sort of like I remember my parents flew in to help me, and I got time off from work, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, paid time and just seemingly all the things, so that the mind could just be like, so it's okay, spirit, you know, you take my hand and you be in charge. And I love that thing, like, you know, even decisions, like, you decide for me, because I could be so confused, you know, you decide for me is really powerful. And that just strengthens, you know, like, it feels like that. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. So I don't know if that's helpful. But that's what I'm hearing. Okay. All right. Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I appreciate everything everyone's shared, and that was such a lovely video. I had seen it a shorter version of it yesterday and was hoping you would show it. I almost shared it with you, but I figured you would have seen it. And it was very moving to me. It confirmed some things for me and helped me reflect on others that I'm still working on. I have shared here that I was in a big car accident about a month ago. And that my car's been totaled. Well, I actually was rushed to the hospital and was not doing well. I mean, was not a serious mess, but knew things were not right. It's working itself out over time, but and I'll have to see a chiropractor when this is over, but where was I going? It was a really interesting test, lesson, confirmation, the experience in the hospital. Once I knew my dog was going to be taken care of, once I I was panicked, absolutely panicked, until I found out someone could take care of my dog. Then I was fine. And the course just kicked in. And I haven't studied for many years. I'm not, you know, even an in-depth studier. You know, a lot of times I just kind of stay a little bit on the surface with it and then reflect on it. I don't necessarily do the sittings and all the practices. And but I kept hearing all these messages from teachers throughout my life and course lessons. And I did find my, you know, this is an opportunity to bless, be who you truly are. You know, there was lots of fighting. There was many very angry and acting out men who were quite violent and ended up having to be changed. You know, one who kept taking his clothes off. So actually, several ended up having to be handcuffed and tied to, or with their feet shackled, excuse me. And they were high, and they had been fighting high before they got there. And then they continued fighting there while I'm laying on the stretcher, and they're banging their stretchers into mine. And it was really, really challenging. And I just kind of bless everybody and, you know, bless the doctors, bless the nurses, you know, chat with the orderlies. I just kept coming back to all, you know, every time I started to lose it, because I didn't know what was happening. My arm was completely numb, and there were other old injuries that had been seriously aggravated, and it took a very long time being there. And the doctors were already starting to use masks, and patients were already starting to use masks as the virus was beginning to trickle in here in the States, and had lots of challenges, man. But so many gifts and blessings at the same time, and the ability to see that in myself, that I am able to use this and it is here when I need it the most. So that was a real gift. Also waking up this morning, you know, the last few weeks I've been getting a progressively greater and greater pressure on my Adam. I just don't have an Adam's apple, but I'm not sure what that's called, the voice box. I don't know if it's the endocrine gland, the thymus itself, or no, that's here, thyroid. It's yesterday. It was beginning to feel like I was just actually being strangled, right there. And you know, this morning I woke up and my epiglottis was like almost blood red and very swollen. And I've had lots of upper respiratory stuff in the distant past. Many things I was allergic to, from dairy to cigarettes and pot and other things. And I've quit doing all those things over the years. And I've never quite felt this though. You know, my ego mind is just racing. Is this a virus? Is this the throat chakra opening? You know, old blocks coming up for clearing. Is this, oh, there were some other.
I think we lost her volume. Chris? Okay. So maybe I think she's not connected or something. Sometimes that happens. Okay. Well, while we're waiting, did anyone else want to share?
Can I share?
Yeah. Beth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beth.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, it's been a while. I'm so glad you're doing these. And I'll be joining more often. And I'm glad you're recording them. But yeah, well, it just, what she was talking about, I just wanted to ask a question about it, because I mean, this is a, I'm dealing with this a lot, you know, with the virus.
Why don't you let others know where you are? Because they may not, I know you're in New York City. You're in
Westchester, right? Yeah. So yeah, I'm in Westchester. I'm a acupuncturist, so I am not essential. I closed my practice a couple of weeks ago, and I got most of my kids here doing online classes in my my cottage here. So we're very cozy and, you know, dealing with the situation. Yeah, and I've been doing online telemedicine consultations with my patients, you know, working to, you know, calm fears, but also get out information that I can, you know, that is relevant, you know, that, and it's just, it's interesting to me, you know, this is a big subject and I'm just kind of, you know, bopping in here. So, you know, you can address this in any way, but, you know, so she has some symptoms, right? You know, so that's all of a sudden you bring up this fear and, you know, we have this virus and it's, you know, so, you know, I've been, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not going to give her a COVID test or anything, but, you know, I would right away. I want to give her some magic, you know, because I mean, I have ear seeds, I have vitamin recommendations, I have, you know, acupressure points you could use. I have, you know, and, but you know, how much do you, suggest, you know, sometimes it can cause more fear, right? If it's not in somebody's, you know, frame of reference, they want, you know, a double blind placebo controlled, you know, test, you know, and people are getting very, you know, what's, scientific and what's, hocus pocus, you know, but it's not, you know, just because we don't have, you know, studies on vitamin C, you know, we do know that it helps, you know, like it, you know, it may not be the, you know, the highest grade of study, you know, that, you know, a pharmaceutical, you know, drug would have, you know, but, you know, so it's this fine line, you know, that, you know, you and I think, walk, you know, that it's, you know, it's not discounting, you know, going and getting a test or, you know, don't overreact to a symptom, but, you know, take some steps, you know, that might calm your fears or pray or, you know, there, you know, meditate or, you know, so you answer this because this is why I'm here, because you're actually much better at, navigating this. 'Cause I sometimes get very defensive and not of my highest mind. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Let me, Chris, are you back?
Oh, yeah. Hold on just one second.
Okay, because I fear, look, when I get her back in, she's here. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I can.
Okay, oh, there you are. Yeah. It's interesting that as you were speaking, the volume went, you know, and we were watching you, and here you are talking about the throat and expression, and right? All of a sudden, we see you, but we don't hear you. You know,
and I lost you completely.
Right? Yeah.
My phone died completely.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That's interesting because we could see.
I had been wondering if the message was to shut up. And I think it is. I think it's to listen and just be still.
Well, or to speak up. To speak up. Maybe it's the opposite, to speak up. You know, we don't know. I kind of feel like, I'm not sure, Beth actually gave some, she had some very, I think, Beth, you were really trying to be helpful. You were giving some things that can be done that are, you know, low tech, high touch, you know, like things that work. You know, I know I've got a brew that my mom taught me with tea, and you know, it has different things that I've learned. And if I feel something, you know, those things go in, and I don't even think about it; it just gets done. So maybe Beth and you could reach out and give some suggestions. But let's do this. Okay. So here we are. Any one of us could be having these symptoms, right? Anyone. You know, wake up with something, whatever. And is this what this is? Right. So immediately, is this what it is? So the mind wants to diagnose. And so then I need this to diagnose. And actually, Eric was talking about that, right? The mind wants to diagnose. What is this? And then what is the route to get the diagnosis? And here we are in these weird circumstances. Because let's say it was like a strep throat. You would just go to your doctor. They would do it. It would be swabbed. It would be done. And it's an end deal. And now it's COVID, right? And then can it be, can it be tested where you are? Do you have people, do you have tests available? Are there, you know, all of these things come into play, which are very unusual, right? Which are very, very unusual. But then the mind can spin into judgments, right? And it can spin into judgments about there's not enough, there should have been enough, the government should have been more prepared, why is this happening, and all of that. So we can go into that. We can watch the mind. We can watch the mind because we want to watch the mind because the answer is in the mind. The answer is going to be in the awareness, like Joe demonstrated to us. Where is Joe? Oh, there you are, Joe. Okay. the screen sometimes shifts, so people move. So Joe demonstrated to us. He's in the middle of this pain. I mean, the severe, you know, all this pain. And he's asking, right? And he asked and he finally surrendered. He was like, go to the hospital, go to the ER, right? So that's what we're doing, is that we want to watch the mind so we can discern where is the guidance coming and where is it just the monkey mind? Where is it just the monkey mind? So just that practice of like, before I even decide what to do, what's up in awareness? Like, let me just sort this out. You know, let me just be with this. And Muji in a video I remember watching said something, you know, as you do the mind watching and as you've demonstrated, Chris, under very extreme circumstances where people are shackled and they're, you know, in all of these altered states of mind and not acting very kindly, you found the presence to, I'm going to bless. So the mind is capable to come into stillness, right? And you've experienced it. So this is no any different. Those seem like people outside, and that's what it seemed like. This is the thoughts inside, but it's the same. It's really the same. You know, it's like when I was a pediatrician, I remember I'd watch these pediatricians. I'm like, these kids are crying and they're screaming. How do they hear anything? Like, really? They really heard that murmur, or they really heard that? I was like, how do they do that? But in time, you train yourself. You train. So you listen to what you're listening for, and everything else just is not, it's not in your awareness, you know? So if we go in and we just say, okay, what would be helpful? And I loved what you said, Beth, because sometimes just doing something simple as like a warm cup of tea, or maybe it's, you know, the therapies like vitamin C or the things that seem to help, there you are, yeah, are wonderful. Why? Because they do exactly what you said. They bring the fear down. They bring the fear down. So it's not like this one thing that is like I feel like sometimes like we think it's like this bullet thing that, you know, like it's like a target, like you gotta hit the bullseye, and if you don't then you're off. But I feel like it's grace, and you just want to move in the direction of the grace, move in the direction, and it could be an assortment of things depending on what, on our beliefs. Mm-hmm. Depending on our beliefs. So maybe a cup of tea with the way my mom, because that's my beliefs, is my thing. Vitamin C might be your thing. It doesn't matter. We don't have to debate. We want to get into the space of the fear coming down so we can hear the voice of love. And then it could be, I know maybe we can't, you know, they're advising us that it's not good for us to go unless it's really needed, right? So there's almost like a risk-benefit analysis that's happening. But again, that's the pause. That's the pause. So maybe a phone call. This is what I'm experiencing. What would the doctor say? Maybe putting out a phone call, Chris, and just seeing, you know, letting the phone come back and letting, so you're not alone. Because sometimes I know if you're, you know, if we're living alone, then right? Then again, that ego voice, see, all the beliefs are going to get flushed out, the beliefs. And as they get flushed up, we want to meet them with allowance and gentleness and spirit help me and prayer. Spirit, help me here. Help me to listen. And then the path is given moment to moment. Like for Eric, he's in this kind of a holding state right now. Like, you know, he's waiting, you know, and then there's stuff to explore there. So it's all beautiful because spirit will walk us out wherever we are into the light. And it's like developing that capacity to use whatever seems to be doors that are closing as more spirit, you're guiding me to where, oh, I guess that's not it then. This is it. Okay, I guess it's not going to be that. I remember when I was in the place where the pain was not quite gone yet. And we had my son and I, we were going to go fly to Washington, D.C. And it was like one of these things that, you know, he had time off and I had time off. And it was like a big thing so I was like, okay, I'm trying to, and I was at work and I couldn't get into the surgeon, because he had, you know, he was a specialist. He was in surgery. And so he didn't have so many hours and it just wasn't happening. And I was trying to figure it out. Like, what am I to do? And then I said, okay, I guess this, cause then it was like, you can come on Friday. And I was like, okay. So I think I said, all right, let me book it. And then we're supposed to fly. And I just kept asking, like, spirit, am I to cancel this? Like, I've paid for it. And I'm, you know, am I to cancel it? Am I to go here? And I realized, okay, well, that's not going to be part of the healing then. This visit is just not going to be part of my healing. And then we did go, and my pain was gone. Like, it didn't come back, you know, but it was like really listening. I was willing to cancel, you know, whatever money would have been lost, because it's like the spirit's plan isn't about external forms. It's the connection to the love. It's the connection to remembering that I am with spirit. I am not alone. That's really the purpose. And when that purpose leads us, it's the light. It's our light in the cave of the darkness of the mind. And, you know, in the dark of the night, everything seems worse, right? The mind will be, and then you wake up in the morning and it doesn't seem so bad. So the spirit is leading us. Beth, is that helpful? That's the approach that I would follow. And Chris, I wonder if that's helpful for you.
Yes, I more or less felt that intellectually. I was getting to that when I was talking, but hearing you reflect it is good, is helpful as well. I haven't had the opportunity to actually do much of it because it's been a very busy morning, but and I wanted to make this meeting, but yes, it's pretty much what I have to do. And I think that's part of the lesson we're all, you know, getting in one way or another. It's as things we are used to disappear or not usable, relying on what's inside, relying on our connection with spirit and ourselves. And so yeah. Thank you for verbalizing all of that. That helped us to see that reflected.
Yeah, thank you, because you're reflecting to us what we're all, you know, experiencing. It happens to be, it's not just in your body, it's like in the mind, you know, we're all, and something came to my mind. I just thought I would, I'll wait, because we're already at time. And I know someone else shared, but maybe we can, I don't want to take more time because some people, you know, may need to get off and everything, but we can continue. We can continue this discussion, you know, so we'll just take it over and I'll send that link again. And let's join together. Yeah, this is what I feel. Let's join together in whatever bodily symptoms. Today it was like on illness, you know, it seemed to be the focus went there. And it's interesting, right? The coronavirus has been here all along, but today there was more of a focus on body. So let's say that the ego gives the body the purpose of not healing and moving away from love and away from peace. And the spirit uses the body to move into healing first, what of the mind and the awareness. So let's let let's join in whatever we see outside or inside or whatever. Let's let it that it's going to lead us into healing, into love, or into God, into the awareness of the presence of love. Let's join in giving it that purpose. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, I'm just going to unmute everyone so we can, yeah, just wish each other well.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Hi. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Beth.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thanks, everybody. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry I missed your suggestions, Beth. Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. We can talk anytime. Anytime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care. See everyone tomorrow. Bye. Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.